Today's audio cast for Monday, May 1st, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. It's been a good quarter for GA. Pete Buncey, president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, said in a news release, all segments of the general aviation manufacturing industry are continuing to increase at strong levels. From the same period last year, billings for the first quarter of 2006 were up a staggering 40%. In dollars, that translates to a $4 billion first quarter. The cyclical turn is more of a complete turnaround from the near free fall the industry took in years more closely following 9/11. In those days, many general aviation manufacturers laid off workers while some slowed or even temporarily halted production lines. Like we said, things have, at least for now, changed. Cirrus is once again the company to catch, moving 124 of its top-of-the-line SR-22 aircraft. Add 35 SR-20s to the list, and Cirrus accounts for more than a quarter of all 597 piston single shipments in the first 4 months of this year. But if there is a common thread for major players like Cirrus, Cessna, and Columbia, it may be that more is better. Columbia shipped 46 of its Speedy 400 series aircraft, but none of its lesser-powered 350 series. For Cirrus, the company's high-end model stole the show in the first quarter, while the entry-level SRV model saw zero shipments. Cessna had more uniform spreads, 53 172S model shipped, while the straight 172 came in at 51. Cessna's Turbo 182 outshipped its normally aspirated counterpart by 37 to 28. Finally, the much-anticipated Diamond Twin Diesel DA-42 stalked its first quarter claim at 27 aircraft shipped. Make of it what you will. Meanwhile, the very light jet race continues to heat up. Spectrum last week strengthened its public intentions to bring what it hopes will be the faster, lighter, and more fuel-efficient VLJ through certification by 2008. The graphite epoxy-structured 10-seater design prototype is in early flight testing and aiming for a 415-knot cruise at 45,000 feet. It intends to provide range capabilities reaching 2,000 nautical miles. This will be a fun program to watch. Over at Adam Aircraft, test pilots of the company's twin-boomed carbon fiber A700 took that aircraft to 41,000 feet and 340 knots true. Pressurization tests of up to 26.7 PSI are now scheduled for completion before July. On a much more somber note, the NTSB has released an early report on the accident that April 19th took the life of aviation icon Scott Crossfield. The NTSB's initial findings suggest the first man to fly through Mach 2 flew his Cessna 210A into a Level 6 thunderstorm. The NTSB's report states that evidence suggests the aircraft ultimately suffered a low-altitude in-flight breakup. The main wreckage was found in a 4-foot crater. Investigators found no indication of pre-impact anomalies that would have prevented normal operation of the airplane. In other news, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has done its own math and says the FAA funding crisis fueling massive restructuring efforts in the ranks of flight service and air traffic control may have been misrepresented. AOPA President Phil Boyer said in a San Diego meeting last week that the Airport and Airway Trust Fund is headed toward a surplus that could reach $9.3 billion by the year 2012. To reach that conclusion, Boyer said AOPA used financial estimates provided by the White House. Another alphabet group, NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, says legislation aimed at a separate mythical problem has resulted in taxes on jet fuel being pumped into a fund for highway improvement. New proposed legislation would put a stop to the arrangement. In the meantime, rules that went into effect last October are working to discourage use of jet fuel in truck engines. A Pennsylvania man is planning a transcontinental flight beginning with a carrier takeoff from the USS Midway in San Diego and ending 2 months later at Charleston Harbor in South Carolina. The catch? Pilot Barone Taylor would be making the trip by powered parachute. With a May 10th departure window, Taylor will have more than 50 planned stops along the way. NATCA seems to be passing the time of its impasse with the FAA by passing the FAA more offers. In a letter to the FAA Administrator Marion Blakey, John Carr, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, wrote, "I am offering to meet with you unconditionally at the bargaining table, and at that meeting I will direct my negotiating team to bring you real and significant progress." The letter was released shortly after NATCA issued a news release claiming that a bill that would disarm the FAA's impasse strategy had found majority support in the House. The bill would have to be passed before the June 5th impasse deadline passes. Stay tuned. Find all these stories and more online today at www.avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome via email. Just drop us a line to audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, May 5th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.